Here we are then, back in the studio for another Sunshine Radio podcast. And with me, it's Lee Martin and Paul O'Neill from Lakefest. Hello, gents. Welcome along.
Good afternoon, Mark.
My mic's gone droopy. Is that a reflection of anything?
A few of my friends have that problem, actually.
We've reached that certain age. Lovely to see you guys. We've been on the radio talking about this year's Lakefest, but it goes back now 10 years. Well, it's the 10th anniversary.
It's the 10th one, but obviously we missed a year with COVID. Mm. The first one, in fact, and the reason that I thought we should talk about the old times, because I'm with Paul, who was there, along with myself and Daffy. And
Martin.
And Martin, yeah.
Yeah, and Martin, sorry. So in 2011... Well, in fact, it was 2010. So what did you want to know? Let's go from the start.
We're gearing up, aren't we? We took 10th anniversary.
Yeah, it was the 9th of April 2011, the first ever Lakefest in its original form, which was a Wurzel's cider festival. And sometime, I think it must have been about October 2010, me, Daffy and Martin were sat around having breakfast, and it was Martin's father's campsite. It's now Martin's, called Croft Farm Water Park. It's an amazing place, beautiful, got a lake, and we took over running the clubhouse as a concession on this campsite. And it's stunning, and I was like, how can we put this place on the map? Like, why don't we do some event? And I think Daffy suggested, let's get the Wurzels down. And I actually love the Wurzels, and I know Martin did. So we all agreed we'd do this crazy thing. We had no experience in running events or anything, but we just thought, we'll have a go. And sure enough, we booked the Wurzels and booked a massive tent, got some toilets and stuff. And it was about a £20,000 cost of show. And I remember at the time...
Sweating.
But not worrying, because I just had confidence Tewkesbury doesn't really do much. And the Wurzels to me were massive, and it was a big deal. I think someone from Breeden Football Club, which is the village I'm from, said it was the biggest thing to happen locally since Swindon Town come and played a friendly in 1987 or something. Like, wow. So I was fairly confident, but it got to the end of February and I looked at the ticket sales, and we'd sold about 200 tickets at £20, so we were really short of the break even. And I then started panicking, and that's when someone had told me about this band, this little band with this little Irish fella and his wife or girlfriend at the time, who played the fiddle, that were amazing, and I should go and see him at the Yew Tree pub. And I'd heard of them in music circles, and I went to go and watch them at the Yew Tree, and they smashed it, and they were fantastic. And I thought, oh, do you know what, if I book them, all my problems will be solved, because they'll sell the thing out for me. And I went over to Ledbury and met Paul and Caitlin, and we signed them up with some other, but they're basically friends bands, it was all mates and stuff. And I'd done the deal with my alcohol supplier, who's also one of my best friends, to have, like, I think there was 40 different ciders, I can't remember, but there was a lot of different things going on. We did welly wanging and some proper old school games, and had tractors and all props, and everyone dressed up as farmers, and
lots of hay bales.
Lots of hay bales everywhere, and it was proper, and there was flags, and it was cool. It was a really, really cool event. Anyway, we were super lucky, because I think going into the event, we were about £10,000 down, and I was terrified, but I knew the bar would do a bit, and we also, it grew out of Pig on the Hill, which was the catering company that we all worked for and that started it all. So we knew we could do the food, so I knew that the food concession would make some money, and the bar would, so I was confident we'd get out of jail. But about 2,000 people turned up. It was a boiling hot day. The 9th of April 2011 was one of the hottest April days on record.
So if it had rained, Lakefest may not have actually survived beyond that, or become what it was.
For sure. It was an absolute stunning
day. It wasn't even called Lakefest. It was just called Breeden's Cider Festival.
Obviously, it was just the Wurzels we called it.
So are you counting that as event one, or is event one following year where Lakefest... I'm really messing up your numbers now.
No, event one, Lakefest, was the following year.
Yeah, it was the following year. And so then, anyway, we smashed it. And I remember... we sold something like 17,000 pints of cider that we'd paid like a quid for, or something, for £3.50 each. And
don't give away your margins too much.
I'm not bothered. We were so far down, we needed to, you know, we were in trouble. We were going into it so far down, and it was, well, I say that, there was a lot left over, because I remember the local farmers all came and collected boxes, but there was we'd ordered 17,000 pints and it had all gone. And I remember people were coming and saying, I need a box for my wedding and stuff. Anyway, the event went off really well, but it was, you know, I shouldn't really talk like this, but I will because we'll be open and honest. But we'd ordered like 10 security guys because we're only expecting 1,000 people maximum, and it's 1 to 100 is what they say, the ratio. Anyway, people were like cider zombies, and my wife's, one of her friends' husbands was quite senior in Gloucestershire Police, and he was there as a guest, and he came up to me and said, it's about 8 o'clock at night, and he said, mate, how many security have you got here, because you've got a problem on your hands. And I looked around, I'm like, gee whiz, and I looked, and the whole place, everyone was wasted, you know, and I was really worried because the vibe was low, and anyway, Paul got on the stage with Caitlin, and they've got a really upbeat. You can talk about this.
Just before that, when we got involved, when Lee said, "Oh, you want to come over and do all of this?" I said, "Yeah, no problem," because myself and Caitlin had been running small beer festivals in Herefordshire and Gloucestershire, Worcestershire, just, you know. And so he said, oh, we're having this little beer fest. And I said, great, you know, who's doing your PA and your staging and running order, stage managers? And he didn't have any of that.
No.
He had the Wurzels.
We had a trailer, and Martin's brother was going to build us some steps up to it. That was it.
There was no green room or anything. I said, so I was like, okay, we have an issue here. Maybe we need to put that in place. So we kind of put that in place a few days before, and I staged, Caitlin stage managed it, and I did MC on it and whatever. Yeah. So it was coming up, as you said, you know, the place is full of zombies, and then the Crows.
Got the place rocking, didn't
well,
you?
What we did was we kind of looked at the crowd and said, if we can get them focused and get them dancing together instead of looking at each other like they're going to, you know, kick off.
Yeah.
So we just did a very fast set. We didn't let anything drop. We just did loads of tunes, which gets people dancing, and it created the atmosphere of what we wanted, really, which was a festival, a cider festival. You know, people were hee-hawing and doing the crack. It was great.
And then the Wurzels came on, and he put a lead weight on the end of his member and flipped it in front of the crowd, which was pretty insane. And everyone went nuts.
Got his clothes
off. It was one of the best nights of my life. And I remember the team, that feeling of, like, all of us at the end coming together. And, you know, Alan Newell that ran the site was happy, which was really important to us, and even my wife was happy because she could see it must have been a massive success, and Daffy was chuffed, and it went really well, and we were all pleased, and everyone loved it. And the following day, it was Easter holidays, and I remember going on holiday to Dartmouth and thinking, wow, we've done well, we've actually made some money, this is really good. And we're already thinking about, me and Martin discussed it, and Martin was coming up with names and really enthusiastic, and I went off to Dartmouth thinking, oh, this is amazing. And on the following day, I had a phone call from Gloucestershire Constabulary saying, we're going to prosecute you for a responsible sale of alcohol, Mr. Martin. There was some guys walked back to Tewkesbury. My officers attended. One had defecated himself. One was headfirst in a ditch. One was incapacitated. A complete mess. We spent all night clearing up after these men that you'd sell alcohol to. You're a terrible human being. We're going to prosecute you, which was really horrible. Because anyway, fortunately, we paid a health and safety guy who I phoned, who Alan recommended. His name was Jim, a lovely old man, real wise old man. And I said to Jim, I've got this problem. And Jim was very correct in what he said. He said, well, you let people in with their own alcohol, therefore you didn't sell them the alcohol, did you, Mr. Martin? And I said, oh, no, of course I didn't, Jim. people fed themselves. I can't be responsible for people feeding themselves their own alcohol. And the problem went away, thankfully. But since then, you know, we learned from our mistakes, and we're a very professional run outfit nowadays. Yeah. Obviously then we didn't know what we were doing. I'll openly admit, you know, we were triers. We really put the effort in, and we all worked together to pull it together. But the atmosphere was
electric.
It was great,
and the magic in for the day was great.
Yeah. And we didn't understand, you know, like I personally didn't understand the significance of having control of the bar and stuff. And the first thing we did in Lakefest 2012 was fence the area off, and we had the bar, and no one was allowed to bring their own alcohol in. And it worked, that bit. the actual event itself was a financial disaster. Lakefest. Yeah. So what happened? Mm. We thought, wow, this is easy. Let's book a load of bands, and we booked the Levellers, who didn't turn up because the fiddle player.
He got injured. He had an injured finger that year, and then we had to replace them like with a 4 days notice with athlete,
which is amazing.
EMF were at that event.
Yeah. Who else? Chesney Hawks.
Reef. And yeah. Reef.
Who were back at this year?
Dodgy was there.
But it was a financial disaster. It was too many big acts.
Yeah,
we went from nothing to thinking we were massive, and we weren't massive. But we had to look at it as, right, we're investing in the brand here because we couldn't afford to lose that money at all.
Yeah.
And things started to pick up at Croft Farm, and it became...
Yeah, we did two more years at Croft Farm.
2015, so we did... Yeah, 12, 13, 14, 15. We did 4 years.
It feels been quite a while, doesn't it, before you moved? It felt like that anyway.
Yeah, and we got a real passion, and we all grew together. You know, we've all grown together.
We've all learned.
Grown grey together.
But we've learned, we have had to bring professionals in because we have had to because we took it to a point that was out of our skill set, weren't it? Because, honest, I'm not.
We were learning as we were going, but then it gets to the point where you're dealing with what the amount of people have to be taken care of, and it has to be done properly. All the processes have to be, all the boxes have to be ticked, and you need professionals to tick those boxes.
Yeah.
You know, just to get your assurance, get your license to get, and to make sure that everything is safety. Mm. That's a priority now because we are a family festival, so it has to be a priority.
And councils have got a long list of things that you've got to pass, haven't you?
Yeah.
And you're right. Safety, so that when somebody buys their ticket and they come to you, they know they're going to be fine. They're going to have a great time. They're going to be able to go home and say, we had a great time. Yeah. We didn't see anything go wrong.
I think that was probably our biggest culture shock in moving to Herefordshire because we, at Croft Farm, because we were part of Wychavon District Council, Croft Farm was a very responsible campsite that looks after thousands of children with JCA. It's an activity centre for children, so everyone knows it's safe. It's got a reputation for being proper, and therefore the scrutiny that we had probably wasn't as much as there should have been for guys that were running their first time event, in fairness. When we went to Herefordshire Council, I turned up to a room thinking I'm going to have a cup of tea with a health and safety person like I had in previous years, and there was 30 people sat around a room that were used to dealing with a big chill, quizzing me about stuff I really didn't understand, and it became very clear I was totally out of my depth. And we struggled in the first few years. I'm just being brutally honest.
We did.
But the council actually been really, really flexible with us. I mean, really, really patient and work with us to take us up to the next level. And I think they're totally on board with us. We've got the team now to deliver it in a safe...
The council have been very patient, as you say, but last year we really came up to a level where they went, you know, you guys are there now. You just need to continue doing it. And that was great to hear, because but to continue doing it and to continue growing, we need the infrastructure, we need the people to come in and go, okay, you need this year, and then you're safe and you're compliant.
Yeah.
But I mean, we want to grow, we want to, no, you know.
Only we don't want to make it too big. I think we want to keep it intimate and lovely. But I mean, we were very lucky as well, because obviously the Big Chill disappeared. Big Chill was very famous, and everyone I know, we grew up with that thing, you know.
Yeah.
It was a monster, wasn't it? It was massive. I think it was the fourth biggest in the UK, right?
At the time.
Yeah,
right?
at its absolute peak, it was top five in the UK.
Yeah, amazing. And that had gone, obviously, so there was a void, and we were very fortunate to pick that void up, I think.
And I think the County of Herefordshire has been grateful as well, because it was a big loss, and particularly to the traders in Ledbury. I remember the outcry and going, oh no, it's gone. However many thousands of pounds was spent there by people picking up their food and their drink on the way through, and they're going, oh, the mayor was like lobbying. We won't mention the company that was responsible for it, lobbying them to come back, and it wasn't going to happen because they had a financial loss. So it was so great that I think at the earliest opportunity when the license was available again and free, you guys came in, and you almost felt that there was a little bit of cheer in Ledbury going, hooray!
I mean, and it's been great. The reaction from Ledburyites, if you want to call them that, has been fabulous, and you know, we haven't caused any problems.
It was a bit of a restart, because we did lose a few of our Tewkesbury customers because they didn't want to travel. Which I think they have now. I think there was a bit of a like, you've moved from Tewkesbury, we're not going to follow you, but it took a couple of years and they all
realised we weren't coming back.
Yeah. and there is no, sadly, there is no events in Tewkesbury. So it's a bit of a shame, a bit of lost cheeks, but that will come back in time, I'm sure.
Yeah, it takes time for these things to go. But also, I think where East North has a history of putting on great events, you know, because the Big Chill made it that. And we just picked up where they dropped the flag. We just picked it up and went, hey, we're all over here and this is the place to be. And it was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do for the festival as well, because we, you know, Croft Farm, brilliant, safe, everything, lovely site, but we couldn't sustain staying there because we just outgrown it. You know, we just got that.
Well, and they were building as well, because they've gone more the like host seasons route, and they wanted a professional, lovely campsite, and I think having a music festival like 10,000 people rocking up is not, you know, it's not really in keys.
No. It's trying to different.
Yeah, I mean, I know Martin does his cider festival there still, annually, which you know, is just a smaller thing that's a bit more contained, a bit more, but you know, it's not the monster that Lake Fest has become.
Yeah,
but it's an amazing thing. It's a massive part of all our lives, and I think we're all really proud of what we've done, because it's amazing, really, and you couldn't really make it up, the journey that we've been on.
Yeah.
It's been amazing.
It has a magic, you know, and I go to a lot of festivals with the Roving Crows. We travel around, even in France now, and Portugal and Australia, whatever.
Look at me.
They go to a lot of festivals every year, but Lakefest has a magic. It has a feel. Mm. It just has something that not every festival has. You know, other festivals, because we didn't come in and say, we're going to put a festival on here. You know, it's going to be 20,000. We started tiny and then kept the vibe every year. And that's important, to keep the small vibe of independent guys learning as we're going here. But doing something that we want to do.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted to build something that we would want to go to and bring our families to.
And people will choose that essence that you have of family-friendly, independent is a big draw for people when they buy a ticket as well, isn't it? Because they will shun the corporate events sponsored by... it's now reached a point where a lot of festivals are the sponsor presents the festival.
Yeah.
Not even the people putting it on are even mentioned anymore.
Yeah. We're never... That's never going to happen.
That's never going to be.
We're never doing that. And we're always reasonable with the price of drinks. James Danter, it's very reasonable with the price of the fare rides, and everyone's fair, and we, like I said, we work with the same people year on year, we're the same incumbent people, and we're all grown together, and we're very happy, aren't we, Paul? I think
we're very happy to keep the same guys involved. If they want to be involved and they want to grow with the festival and do everything that is to make them compliant, then they can stick in with us.
Yeah. Like you, like Sunshine. We're friends, haven't we?
We've been knocking around, haven't we, for a while now.
Yeah. You'll come with
and every year you come to say, I'm still here.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
Nah, mate, you're good.
So that brings us up to Lakefest this year, which we have headlining Supergrass, Manic Street Preachers, Left Field and UB40.
Yeah.
Now, you know, obviously don't want to give anything away for the future, but is there anything you can tell us, thoughts in your head that maybe the direction it could go
I'll
into?
Leave that to Paul. Me and Paul...
You can say no.
Paul books the bands for the festival, so I'll let him talk about that.
I'm not going to mention any names. That would be wrong. But continuing in the vein we're going, we haven't really brought in any international acts yet because we haven't been big enough.
Yeah.
But if we keep going the way we're going, I would love to bring in some international acts, because at the moment we've stuck with the best of UK acts, and rightly so. And we bring them in, and they are so popular. But I would love, as a programmer, to go international now and look at acts that don't often play in the UK.
Yeah.
And give something more, something special, you know, on top of the atmosphere that we have. But of course, I'm not going to mention any names.
No.
That would be wrong.
You too. Happy Jesus. You too.
And me and Bono were like that. Yeah.
Van Morrison. I don't know. Gents, it's been a pleasure.
Always, man.
Always a pleasure. Best of luck for, I'll see you there at this year's Lakefest. It is the 11th to 14th. Also, Wednesday early opening this year again.
Yep, and we're going to open on the Wednesday night. I think we're going to have a bar open. We've applied for a license to have a bar outside of the arena. Well, a tiny part of the arena with one tent, acoustic only.
I'm
trying to get. I love cricket, so I'm trying to get a cricket match. And I know Daffy and a load of the lads like cricket too, so I'm going to try and get a cricket match against Eastnor at the creek ground there by the by the castle, which people can come watch and have a pint and watch the game there, which would be good fun.
It gives an extra night if people want to get in early, you know, park up and get settled for the weekend.
Well, it's so stunning there, and that's one thing in our favour this year again, and it's horrible for the airlines and stuff, but it's still chaotic, isn't it, going abroad? So I think a lot of people choose to stay at home, and it's a great holiday.
And sometimes when you go there and you arrive on a Thursday and then you suddenly wake up and it's Monday morning, you're packing up and you're going, that was too short. So the opportunity to camp for longer and just have that build up atmosphere with just a couple of drinks outside your tent or your caravan,
and
brilliant.
Of course you don't have to get in early. Means you get through all the queues quicker. You know, you get through, so it means less queuing.
Yeah,
and it's good for everybody. Less people queuing on the Thursday.
Yeah. Mm. On that positive note, let's call that a wrap, shall we?
Yeah. All right. Wrap it up.
Thank you to Paul O'Neill and to Lee Martin from Lakefest. If you want all the details, make sure that you follow them on Facebook, of course, at Lakefest, and the website lakefest.co.uk for your tickets. If you haven't bought them yet, why not? That was another Sunshine Radio podcast.